I have a message that I've worked on. I believe it's a message from God. However, if he wants to change things up, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow him. Because we want something fresh from heaven. Amen? Do you remember the children of Israel when they gathered too much? God says only gather for the day. And then human nature, of course, I think I need more. I think I need more. I need this, I need this, I need this. So they gathered it and kept it. And then the Bible says it became putrid. So we want a fresh word from God. But I'm telling you, you need a fresh word from God daily. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And that's important for you to take the time to get that word from God. And God speak to us, number one, how? Yes, through his word. And so we're going to continue our series, Learning to Love God's Word. And I'm a lover of God's word. I'm a lover of God's word because I know what it did in our lives. It's amazing what God's word has done in our lives. It's miraculous what God's word has done in our lives. So Pastor Mamie and I are inviting you to be a lover of God's word. How many are a lover of God's word in here? Woo! Yell it out! I'm a lover of God's word! Yeah! Woo! Come on, because it'll change your life. Maybe through this series, or maybe after this series, that you've heard it all, that you would, and this is our prayer, that you would prioritize reading the Word of God. And that you would cause it to be a cornerstone of building your life. That means we throw out our thoughts, our ideas about what life is, and we accept His thoughts, His ideas about what life is. And that's what we did. God took two hippies and worked His word into us. And it's pretty amazing what He's done in our lives. It's actually kind of shocking what He's done in our lives. But it's important for us, really, every single one of us, to do these things, to make reading God's word a priority, to get fresh manna, fresh oil in our lamps. Not because how many know that as you live out into this world, as you listen to the news, as you walk and hear people talk, that there is, seems like it just drains out of you. Doesn't it? That's why we need a refreshing. I mean, I want a refreshing daily. And not just one time. It's like Job says, I desire your word more than my daily food. It's meat, it's milk, it's wine, it's joy. It is life. It's important. Because when you start reading the word and you start to yield your life to it, it's Jesus. Who's the word anyhow? Jesus is the living word. Before there was anything, the Bible declares the Word was with God and the Word was God. And so it's the Word. This Bible is Jesus. I just heard one of those balls, ping pong balls falling off. This is an indication that we need to change the background. But Jesus is this Word. And this supernatural book, as we read it, gets imparted to your spirit. If you're born again. If you're born again. And what we want to do is read this word, make it the cornerstone of our life. And when I say the cornerstone of our life, that means that we actually bail out on our idea of what life is, our thought life, our being brought up, and we yield to what he's revealing to us. And when we yield to what he's revealing to us, we'll be ready. Amen? Because time is short, and Jesus is coming back. There's a wonderful event that's going to occur. And theologians call it the rapture. And there's nothing that needs to be done before it happens. The Bible says it's going to be like a thief in the night. No one knows when it is. No one knows when it is. That's why it's so important for us to yield into the Word of God. Acknowledge His ways are better than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we yield to Him. We yield to Him this way. Look at what Jesus says about this great event that's going to take place. And it's found in Luke chapter 17. He says, I tell you, on that night there will be two in bed. Two in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two men will be in the field and one will be taken, the other will be left. So does that mean it's going to be at night? Well, no, because there's going to be somebody in the field. And you know this world, you know, over in Europe, it's a different time zone than when we are. Even in Colorado, it's a different time zone than we are. And over in California, it's a different time zone. No one knows. No one knows. One will be taken, one will be left. Look at this next scripture in Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord where? In the air. In the air. Jesus hasn't touched the earth yet. And so we will be with him forever. The Bible says these things will happen in a twinkling of an eye. Close your eyes and open them real fast. Whoa, we're all gone. We'll be given glorified bodies. Yes! Can I hear an amen for that? But here's the key. Do you know when you read the whole Bible, you get a bigger picture of this? If you just read that scripture, those scriptures, you're going to say, but Jesus says there's some qualifying things for this. Remember how it says one will be taken, one will be left? What determines one will be taken, one will be left? Let's let the Bible answer that. You know, it's pretty amazing that the Bible itself gives us the answers how to live a godly life in a wicked world. See, we're different people. We're separated. We are light in darkness. This is what we need to know. This is what we need to recognize. The stuff that's going on in the world is all prophesied about what's going to happen in the Bible. It's set up, folks, ready to happen. Ready to happen. But look what Jesus, what is he going to look for? Why? Who qualifies? And what happens? One will be taken, one will be left. One will be taken, one will be left. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 18. Look what it says here. Jesus himself is saying this. He says, however, when the Son of Man comes, what's this say? Let's read it together. Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? It is what he's looking for. You know, a lot of people say, I know Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and this and that, and, you know, but Jesus is talking about like a marriage to him. Oh, I know you, but how do you know him? Is he casual to you? Is it kind of like on a Sunday? Is it a daily thing? Is it a... Jesus is going to look for faith when he comes back. What kind of faith is it? Because everybody has a natural faith, natural human faith. I have faith that this is going to hold me. You all have faith that the chairs we provide, we're going to hold you. Folks, that's natural human faith, and that's not the faith that Jesus is looking for. Not at all. It's not. Because the faith that he's talking about is this next scripture, 2 Corinthians. You know, I'm giving you something here that actually should be a series for everything. I'm squeezing it in 20 minutes. It's a miracle that's going to happen. If I stop in mid-sentence, I guess the Holy Ghost is done with me. Look what this says. What does it say? By sight. Oh, this doesn't qualify. No. This doesn't qualify. Amen. The Bible's full of examples of this type of faith. And this is the type of faith that we have to live in. If you're born of His Spirit, these things, as you read the Word, are going to be able to, I'm catching on. I'm starting to understand. Okay, listen. Pastor Mamie and I have been in this Word since about how long? 35 years. And I have read through this Bible, and I go over some things that I had read before, and they become alive to me, even though I've read them over and over. I'm still discovering new things about my faith that God has planted in my heart through His Word. Look what this says. We're going to find out what kind of faith is He looking for. Not this kind of faith. He's looking for faith that believes the unseen. We walk by faith, not by sight. Here's an example. Jesus. This is Luke chapter 5. This is something that I really love, Luke chapter 5 here. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, that's Peter, put out in the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we worked all night and caught nothing. Peter? Andrew? James and John? Professional fishermen. How many like deadliest catch? I watched it yesterday. That's the type of guys Jesus is talking to. Here comes this teacher. Carpenter by trade, knows a lot about fishing, I guess, huh? No. But heard what Jesus was preaching about. He says, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But, let's read this next underlined area. But I will do as you say. But I will do as you say. I will do as you say. Jesus is the what? The Word. Jesus is the Word. What's he looking for when he comes back? Faith. Okay. So here's an example of it. Peter says, I worked all night fishing and didn't catch anything. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats, and they came to help them. And they filled both boats, so they began to sink. Pretty awesome when you obey God, amen? Pretty awesome when you obey God. I worked all night. But at your word, I'll let down my nets. Then Jesus in the Bible, he commends a man for having great faith. Great faith. It's a centurion, not even a Jew. It was a Gentile, like most of us. Gentiles. I'm not sure if there's any Jewish history in here, but he's talking to a centurion, a Roman. He says this, it's in Matthew 8. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him imploring him, saying, Lord, whoa, he said, Lord. My servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come to heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, again, I'm not worthy. This is a humble man. Do you know that this centurion was Roman and he is oppressing the Jews, but this man is not? I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but come on. Oh, just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. That's a huge teaching right there. And Jesus said to the centurion, whoa, I got a new computer. Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. And Jesus said to the crowd, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. Why is it called great faith? Why? It goes right back to the thing. Just say the word. So I go back to the question that we originally started. What kind of faith is Jesus looking for? So we've just seen a couple of examples. Is it this kind? What is the faith that Jesus is looking for? What's it based on? You guys are quick. It's based on his word. This is the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for. Now, suppose Peter didn't act on what the word says. What would happen? Empty nets. He could have said, I'm the professional fisherman. I have the experience here. I've looked it up on Wikipedia. The Bible says the centurion had heard of Jesus, and so he sent. Yeah, come on. The word is what it is. Jesus is looking for the faith that's based in his word. And remember what James says? Don't be a hearer only. Oh, I have all this knowledge. I can quote scripture. Because James says faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So now this is the question. We're discovering what kind of faith Jesus is looking for. And now the second part of that question is, how do we get some? I want it. How do we get it? Because we're talking about the rapture, one's going to be back. One's going to go, one's going to stay. Jesus says, well, the qualifying part of that is Who has faith? I'm looking for faith. And we determine it's not human faith, not natural faith. Amen? Because Hebrews even talks about this kind of faith. It says, faith is the substance of things unseen. I think if Peter had a depth finder, he might have been able to find more fish. But it was the word spoken to Peter, acted on, which brought the abundance. It is the centurion that said, just say the word and my servant will be healed. This is the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for. So how do we get it? Well, the Bible has all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. So let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It's amazing, isn't it? What Jesus has done for us, what God has brought to us. Woo! Do you know that you can get ready for the kingdom? And there are going to be plenty of people that say, what? And Jesus will say, This kind of faith, look at it. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, is this word hearing mean just in your ears? It's not. Because the kind of faith that God is looking for is that we become doers of it. And as we become doers of it, that means that the things and the thoughts that we've had before have to qualify and agree with this book. You know, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance will leave you while the other's taken. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't want anybody here to be here. Do you understand? In a twinkling of an eye, we'll all be gone. Twinkling of an eye. But that means that there's a requirement for you, a requirement for me to do something. Amen? That means that it's hard to start getting going here. There was a time that Jesus just fed the 5,000. Miracle right there. Are you kidding me? Two loaves. We got more food than he had. We're having a picnic. And if Bros has delivered the food, I'm telling you what, we're going to have a lot. It'll be good too. But they're in the boat. Right before they get in the boat, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. That's all they needed to hear. Let's go to the other side. Remember, these are professional fishermen. Well, now a storm arises, and they're just working on trying to get that boat going. And then all of a sudden they recognize, this is be like the captain of one of those ships, one of those crab ships, and Deadliest Catch, coming to Jesus and said, don't you care? We're dying. And he had to correct them. He had to stop the wind and the waves. But then he did what? What did he say after that? Well, first of all, I want you to know it was a time where they were going to die. Because they knew the ocean or the weather conditions. They knew that. They knew if they were in trouble or not. So they came to him. We're going to die. Don't you care? He stopped everything and he looked at him and goes, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Now, if they had ears to hear, what would they have been doing? They would have been bailing water out of that boat and say, shut up, keep bailing. He said, we're going to the other side. That's faith. Whether or not it looks like you're going to die. Like I said, every single thing that I brought up here could be series of teaching. But we're having a picnic, so you get to check out everything here. Oh, yeah, I'll take some of that. Yeah. I like that. Oh, I want some more, Pastor. You have one of these. There's the more. And there's dessert in here, too. Because the Bible says you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. Amen? But if we don't know that, if we don't believe it, we're not exercising our faith, or we start to say, where are those blessings he said I had? Ooh, let me go back to my stool. Where are they? Natural human faith. Oh, I'm in the field. Where'd Pete go? Do you know that God's not holding back anything from us? Our biggest problem is ourselves. And how many know that? But we can correct it because we're in charge of how we think. We're in charge of what we do. God's so good. He's so good. And he's giving all his stuff away. And as we understand that we have so great a salvation, so great a salvation, and time is short, within a twinkling of an eye, those people who are operating in the God kind of faith will be taken. Let's bow our heads. I thank you, Jesus, because what you've done here too is, you know, not only opened up life for us, but you've shown us the future. You've shown us the past, and you have shown us what you're requiring of us. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit manifest himself. The word has been spoken, so now I'm asking you, Spirit of the living God, that by your word, that the power of God, the signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit would come into this place right now, into our hearts. And the number one thing I'm asking, the miracle that I'm asking, the blessing I'm asking, is that you would convict every single one of us, me included, about are we operating in this kind of faith? Are we increasing that faith? Is it something we're doing or something we're neglecting? No. Thank God the rapture hasn't happened right now. Because now we have an opportunity to get into your word, start operating in faith, pulling out and demolishing the strongholds of foreign thoughts, wrong thinking, thinking that's opposite of you. Let us all stand right now. Stand up. And I'm asking you to stand. And I want you to, like you're standing before Jesus right now, let's say it's on a dirt road in Israel somewhere, and you make a commitment to him. You know what he's looking for. It's up to you now. You talk to him. You tell him. You tell him. Maybe we should ask him to forgive us for not putting him first in our life. Maybe we should ask him to forgive us because we're so casual about this Christianity thing. Oh yeah, I'm good. I'm at church. You know, I'm good. I don't need to go to church all the time. I don't need to read the Bible all the time. Whoa. One's left and one is taken. Another thing I want to ask now is, have you really given your life to Jesus? Or are you just acting like it? He knows, you know. The devil knows. You might fake out people, but I'm just saying, one will be left and one will be taken. Which are you? If you give completely over to Jesus, and maybe you said a prayer 5, 10 years ago and really haven't lived it out, and I'm talking to you because you're in a dangerous place. If that's you, I'm asking you to raise your hand high enough so that I can see it. You can give your life to Jesus and really live it out. Because one will be taken and one will be left. And my hope is that you're not left. I want to thank you, Lord God, for your word penetrating the heart, penetrating the division of soul and marrow, spirit and soul, and that you're able to discern the thoughts and intentions of a man's heart. And you know the decisions that were made here today. I just want to say, if any of you need prayer, we have prayer partners over to my right, your left. They can help you. They will show you the word so that you can have faith in the word. God bless you.